got the drag on the line a little bit, so that we might be reminded to worship him.
Amen.
The psalmist said, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Oh, there's always been a longing to worship him.
Yes, sir.
And if you will find your place, Luke 10, verse 38. "And it came to pass as they went that he," that is Jesus, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" You be seated. Father, we pray today that you'd help me out, Lord. Lord, I cannot preach what you've laid upon me without that fresh oil from heaven. I pray you might anoint us and empower us to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. And God, may conviction fall on sinners. And may saints rejoice and find the help they need, a reminder that we ought to worship you. We love you. In Jesus' name, we pray you'd save sinners. Touch saints. God, get big. We pray that we'd stay little. We'd all get happy. Leave this place helped with some hope stirring in our soul. We'll love you for all that you are and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm interested tonight or this morning on this word or this subject, worship. There's a lot to say in the Bible about worship. There is an adoration, worship with silence. I found that in Exodus chapter 4. When Moses had delivered the message to the people, they had heard that the Lord was desired to visit his people, and they bowed their head and worshiped. I found out in Matthew 28, there is silent worship or silent praise. But then I found in Genesis, when that servant, that unnamed servant, had been sent by Abraham to fetch a bride for his son, that he went down and the Lord had prospered his way. And here she had watered the camels. And he broke out in praise. And he said, "The Lord hath blessed me." Oh, there is an audible worship. There is a worship that proceeds from the heart. I found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Elkanah had went down every year at a specified time. They had specific times that they had to show up at the temple. The Bible says when he got there, he did what Deuteronomy 12, 5, 6 through 11 had told them to do. When they get there, bring an offering, bring your tithes, bring a trespass, but get down there for all sake and worship the Lord. I find that through the Bible. There's people that worship wanting God to do something. If you remember, there's a leper that came and the Bible says, and worshiped the Lord in chapter 8. The Bible said, he said, "If thou wilt, I can make me clean." And he said, I will. And he sure enough worshiped. But he worshiped with an expectation of what God would do. Sometimes it's good to worship out of what he has done. That's where I'm going to get to in a little bit this morning. But friend, can I say it's all right to worship God on what he may do. Woo! What he is doing. Thank God. But praise God what you long for him to do. Y'all remember that madman of Gadarenes ran to the Lord, had the legion of demons in him, and he had stood up there naked, cutting himself. Tried to tie him up with chains. Religion couldn't help him. Man couldn't help him. He couldn't help himself. Like any sinner, we can't help ourselves. But thank God on that mountainside, conviction had started to work because he saw God calm the waters on the sea. And he said, if he can do it to that storm, he can do it to this storm that's raging in me. And the Bible said, full of the devil, that he ran and worshiped the Lord. Oh, he was hoping to get something from God. He knew this man could help me, or no man can help me. So sometimes I believe it's biblical to worship God for what he's going to do. Can I remind you what the Bible says over there in Matthew 2? When the wise men traveled for 2 years, thank God just because they saw a star. They had no doubt been left some words, some seeds of truth from Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They have been left some truth scattered. And thank God, those Gentiles, I believe they were. Hey, maybe some offspring of Keturah and Abraham. Maybe one of them might have been an outcast, a descendant of Abraham. But no doubt at least one or two was Gentiles. They came from a country of Gentiles and traveled 2 years to worship God. None of us traveled 2 years to get here this morning. But thank God when they saw him, Bible said what they do. They did what Elkanah did. They did what everybody in the Bible does. They offered up themselves and they gave gifts that was precious to them. Well, I believe it's biblical to worship the Lord. In fact, if you look in Matthew 4:10, the Bible says this, Jesus talking to that crowd. Hey, man, that crowd of demons and no doubt the devil himself had tempted the Lord. And he said, he tried to get the Lord to worship him. And he told Satan, get thee hence. For it is written, thou listen to this, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Can I tell you what Jesus told us? I preached that message one time on how long has it been since you thanked the devil. You ought to thank the devil that he let some things slip. He let it slip that Job had a hedge around him. Woo, amen. And we on this side of Calvary, we got it better than Job. Well, I'm telling you, I'm glad that old sorry devil tried to tempt the Lord right there, because the Lord told me right there, it is a command to worship him. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And then the second thing you shall do, thou shalt serve only him. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Serve him and worship him. And do that every day until he shows you a little more. I know that's his will. Amen. But there is a scriptural illustration through a character in the Bible that I believe this morning demonstrates to us what it means to worship the Lord. How is it that when we look at this lady, Mary, now in the Bible, there are several Marys in the Bible. There's at least six Marys mentioned. There's, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary, the wife of Cleophas. There's Mary Magdalene, and we know that she worshiped the Lord. How did she do it? She got at his feet in Luke 7. We know that one is an account of what she did. She worshiped the Lord, didn't hold nothing back. Amen. There's Mary, John Mark's mother, the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark, his mother. Mary, the disciple that was living in Rome. But there is this Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus. It stuck out to me because in John chapter 11, it uses this parenthetical statement in the second verse. That Mary. My God. There's at least six Marys in the book. In the New Testament. At least six. But John says that Mary. There's something about that Mary. Whoa. There's something about her that the Holy Ghost had inspired that beloved disciple John to pin down that little that Mary. That particular Mary. This one that sticks out. There's a lot that could be said about Mary. Thank God for Magdalene. There's a lot that we could worship the Lord about. How he chose that virgin vessel. But praise God. John says don't forget that Mary. I like it. That helps me. And so as I begin to look at Mary's life, I quickly realize that she is specifically called out in the Bible three times, and what I feel like mentioned four times in the Bible. And you know where you find her every time, praise God. You know where you find her, Brother Tony, every time she's in the Bible. Three times when you know she's mentioned. And the first time when I believe she's alluded to mention. Y'all know where she's at? Every time she's at the Lord's feet. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to get at his feet. Because at his feet is where I find some help. At his feet is where I get to worship him. Oh, hallelujah, and bless his holy name. I'm thankful today for this command of worship. I'm glad, thank God, for this picture of worship. Look with me in our text today in Luke 10 and verse 39. Every time you see this woman, she is at his feet. The first time you see her is in Luke 10. She's a humble learner. The second time you see her is in John 11, 32. She is a bereaved mourner. The third time you find her, she is in John 12, 3, a grateful worshiper. But in chronological order, not in the order of the Bible, but in chronological time frame order, the fourth time I believe you find her is in Mark 14. And in Mark 14, you'll find her, she's an extravagant giver. Every time I see her, Brother Tony, she is at his feet. She is worshiping. It's as if she has this epitaph on her tombstone. I don't know where she's buried. I just wonder if there's one phrase that reminds people of her, if she's the one that anointed the Lord. Maybe she's the one that's always worshiping. You ever run into anybody and says, all you ever do is want to worship the Lord? Well, that's a good indictment. Hallelujah. Thank God, I hope they say that about me. All you ever want to do is talk about Jesus. All you ever do is want to talk about the Lord. And no, I don't know who finally won the game. Don't really care. But I do know who's going to win the glory bowl. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad every time I find her, she's in this Bible at his feet. See, in Luke, she's learning, hearing a good message. She's learning at his feet. Do you know you can learn some things at the Lord's feet? In fact, Paul said, Paul said in the scripture about himself that he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. Most of the Jewish writers, historians that I read after said that was a custom in Jewish time that they would often, the master teacher would set the class down and they would gather around his feet. After Gamaliel died, according to Jewish custom, they no longer did that. They stood. But can I say today, on the authority of God's word, she's like she's saying, "You're master, I'm disciple, you're the teacher, I'm the learner. I want to hear what you've got to say." You know, we get off our high horse, put ourselves down in the pew like we ought to, we can hear something from God. But if we come in with "I know it already" attitude, I don't know if we'll get no help. Amen. Miss Fagan's the best teacher I ever had. Some of y'all had Nellie Fagan in Green Creek. Best teacher I ever had. And you know what? She'd make you want to learn. Can you imagine hearing what the Lord's got to say? I mean, the words drop off like honey. That's according to the book. I mean, praise God, his eyes is like dove eyes. I mean, just being around where he's at makes you want to hear what he's got to say. I'll come back in just a moment. She, in John 11, she's hoping. See, she's hearing a good message. But she's hoping for a good message in John 11. She's leaning at his feet. She's down there. Her world has been shattered, Brother Jeremy. She's hurting. Her brother's dead. Have anybody ever came to church hurting? Just needing some help? I mean, everything you've asked for God, you seemingly have not received. You've been beat up and bruised by the world. And when you come to his feet, you just need some words to bring hope. You just won't thank God to lean on his feet. Lean on him a little bit. In John 12, where I want to wrap it up today, she's honoring him through her ministry, her beloved ministry. See, down there at the Lord's feet, she's got a work to do. She has already been testified by John in chapter 11. He's telling us about the hardship she's facing in chapter number 11. But he tells us in verse 2, it's that same one that's anointed the feet of Mary. Now, don't lose sight of that. He's writing past tense. Hey, man, it hadn't happened in chapter 12, but it had already happened when he wrote it down. And he's trying to get us to see that in the hard times of life, if you'll just hold on, you can break your box too. You can worship too. You can thank God, get some help down there at his feet too. You can have a ministry at his feet. She had a ministry of worship, longing to tell him what he meant to her. She had a meaningful ministry. You say, "Preacher, what you do?" The Bible says she was telling everybody that he is going to die at Calvary. What she did unto death. Thank God she had a memorial ministry. How do you say, and preacher, I'm simply saying it like this, friend, that when she got down there at his feet, Brother Jeremy, it was going to be testified. We're still talking about it. Hallelujah. Thank God the message we carry, he came into this world to die for us. And I'll get there in a minute, but let me just start out by saying this. Hey, y'all look up in here at this preacher. In that day, you only anointed everybody that was dead, unless they held three offices. That was the only people that was allowed to be anointed and alive. That was a priest, that was a king, and that was a prophet. Glory to God. He's all three. Woo! She's got a meaningful ministry. She's telling everybody, this is the King of Kings. This is the high priest of all high priests. Hallelujah. He is the prophet of prophets. Hallelujah. I want my life to mean something for the Lord and his work. It's going to only do that if you stay at his feet. So in our text today, briefly, at his feet, she's learning some things. And verse 40, the Bible says, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone. Lord, don't you care? Brother Jeremy, I like to say, first of all, according to verse 40, she has forgot her cares. Hey, Lord, she don't even care about it. Woo! Now, I want to say this about Bethany, and we'll get there in chapter 12. But all through the Lord's ministry, he's showing up at Bethany. The week before he dies, he goes back to Bethany, makes the trip from Jerusalem to Bethany. Why? Three things. I ain't got time to preach them today, or I don't feel led to preach them, or I would take the time. Number one, fellowship. Every time down there at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house, he had fellowship down there. I mean, praise God, they opened the door and said, come on in. Every time, he's got a place that he can find fellowship. I want the Lord to come by here. I want the Holy Ghost to know. I know God's omnipresent and omnipotent, and I know he's omniscient. He knows everything, but I want to make sure everybody else knows and that we ain't ashamed to tell everybody in the presence of God that he's always welcome here. Everybody with me? He ain't on the outside of the, he might be on the Laodicean church, but I hope we're just a little bit of Philadelphia still living in Laodicea. I thank God for fellowship. But he had lordship down there. Y'all with me? He had lordship. I mean, when Mary got at his feet, she knew who he was. Martha knew who he was. Lazarus knew who he was. Woo! He had worship. I'm telling you, it don't matter what ship you on. Some of you on the ship called hardship. But I tell you this, if you'll just thank God in the midst of riding that hardship, if you'll just look and reminded of his lordship and thank God, have a little fellowship, you can be able to worship on the hardship. Somebody help me. Everybody, she forgot about her cares. I know they're going to hear her when she leaves. I know sometimes it's going to hit us before we get in the car. But praise God, while we in here, while we in the house, while we where he's at, my Lord, have mercy. She forgot her cares, verse 40. She found her food. Martha is cumbered about. I feel like I need to say this. Three aspects of Christians are in that house. All Lazarus, when we get to chapter 12, has got to do is sit there and eat. Because the fact he's alive is a witness. Martha is one of them that's serving, and it's not that she's not doing a good thing. She's doing a real good thing. There's people that's just, they run to serve. But I'm going to tell you the best serving you'll do, and the best food you'll eat is when you're worshiping at his feet. Y'all with me? She found her food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. She found her food. You know what it was called? Soul food. Hey, when I was in Boston, Massachusetts, couldn't find nothing to eat. I mean, my God, have mercy. I was looking for something good to eat. As long as I was at the marketplace down there when I was preaching to the soldiers, if I was at the marketplace down there on the shoreline, they had good food. Hey, but eventually, you can't eat crabs and shrimps and fish all the time. Eventually, you want some good food. I found a little old place tucked in a corner. It was three women. It was three black women that moved up from Georgia. Boy, I loved them women. I hugged them women. I kissed on them women. They had come up there to start a ministry. And them little ladies, I come in. I looked around, and they had hallelujah collard greens. They had blessed baked beans. I said, woo! They looked to the kitchen. Said, amen. And we just went to preaching for about 5 minutes. My goodness, hallelujah. I didn't even eat greens until that day. They made greens better than I could ever tell you. I mean, I had myself a time, and on their sign was Southern Soul Food. I will tell you, thank God, church, what we need is a good dose of soul food. We need to get at his feet and get some food for our soul. Burger King can't give you what you need for that spiritual man. I mean, Texas Roadhouse can't even cook a steak good enough to help your soul. But when you get around the Bible, get at the feet of the Lord, you'll find food for your soul. Amen. Is everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. She found her food. She found her priorities. Matter of fact, you could say it like this. She focused her priorities. It wasn't that being with the Lord wasn't good. It wasn't that serving the Lord wasn't good. But it's just that sitting and hearing the Lord's words was most important. See, what I find in our text chapter, there was one needful thing. It's as if the Lord says, no matter what happens, I'm going to make sure you got a chance to worship. That's what he said. He said that good part, that thing she's doing, shall not be taken. And God's no respecter of person. Does not, and let me just pause right here and say this. Am I right in thinking about the scripture in John 4? I believe the scripture tells us that the Father, now the Son came into this world to seek and save that which is lost. But what's the Father seek? Folks, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And how can you do it without the Spirit? I'm simply saying the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost wants you to worship. They have enabled you to worship. They seek you to worship. They desire you to worship. And everybody that's been sought by the Savior and saved by His marvelous divine sovereign grace has the opportunity, thank God, to worship Him. Hallelujah. I'm so glad today we can worship. This is a place of stillness in Luke 10. It's a place of supplication in John chapter 11. Turn there if you will. John chapter number 11. I am grateful she's down there leaning upon His feet. She's beat up, beat down, burden. The word used often, laden, as a ship's laden. Things pressing on it. But can I just take the time just for a minute, church? Y'all with me this morning? Man, God's got this on my heart so heavy. Y'all listen to this preacher. There is times in your life you don't appreciate the burden. You got to thank God for the weight. I read over there in Ruth chapter 1. Somewhere in the first 10 verses, I think it's verse 9, Naomi looks at Ruth and Orpah. Y'all remember them? One went with her and one went back. There's some two witnesses. She looks at them and says, I pray that the Lord would give you rest in the house of a husband. Now, everybody that's married, y'all women ought to say amen right here. There ain't much rest in the house of a husband. Preach on, preacher. Hey, man, you telling it right. Thank you. Amen. There just ain't. Most of the time when you have a husband, you're going to have kids. There ain't a whole lot of rest, but I'd submit to you that that burden helps you rest. I don't know the mathematics, Jacob, some of them smart fellas in here, y'all could probably tell me, but they say, Frank might be able to tell me that everything that's ever been made has to withstand 15 pounds per square inch. There's so many, I think it's 15 tons of atmospheric pressure always pushing down. And we say, man, wouldn't it be better if we didn't have no atmospheric pressure? No, it wouldn't be no better, because you couldn't even step over a rock without flying off into space somewhere. You look at them folks up there, there's a certain amount of weight that helps you. And can I just, I'm talking about from a kid. From a kid. Hollis wants to pick up everything. Them girls, Hollis is half as big as they are, and they tow him around and just struggle. It's a natural thing for a human being to want. I remember when Davy was 2 years younger than this, he was picking up one end of the kitchen table at Helen's house, dragging it through the living room. I mean, it's a natural thing for people to hold weight, to pick up a burden. Are y'all with me today? But there's some burdens, friend, that keeps you safe and helps you to rest. Put it like this. Find rest in the house of a husband. You say, look at that woman that don't have any kids at all. And she just seemingly don't have, she's not married. But in her older age, she can't rest. because she's missed out on a husband. And she's missed out on children. And there is no rest there. But you'd find that person who's had a husband and has children, and they've been weights on them and they've been burdens on them. But thank God, look at the blessings that it's brought. I'm simply saying, church, every weight ain't a bad thing. Sometimes God putting on you exactly what you need, but there is other times that you're putting too much on yourself, and she's needing some help right here. And so she leans on the Lord and gets discernment and gets help for her weak faith. She's defeated. Lazarus is dead. Y'all know the story in John 11. She's burdened down. Matter of fact, in verse 20, when she hears that Jesus comes into the town, Martha runs out there in John 11 in verse 20. Hears Jesus has come and went to meet him, but Mary was still in the house. She is so defeated. She is so disappointed. She asked the Lord to come and he didn't come. And in fact, she's going to mention it to him. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You always had fellowship here. You always found lordship. I'm the one that sat at your feet, Lord. Are y'all with me? But don't forget, in verse 2 of this same chapter, he gives a prerequisite, lets us know this ain't just any Mary, but it's that Mary. I'm telling you, it don't matter how long you saint. It don't matter how far you've been with the Lord, how many times you've been at his feet. If you don't watch it, friend, you're going to get to the place that you'll wind up sitting back at the house, not going down there to meet the Lord, not getting some help at his feet. Don't sit at the house. Don't sit on the outskirts. You know where the Lord was when she met him? On the outside of the gate. Hebrews says, thank God he died for us outside the gate. If you're going to get some help, go to Calvary. That's where you're going to find your help. Amen.
Yes, sir.
She's disappointed. She's doubting. I mean, she's in despair. This is the Mary that worshiped the Lord. No matter how long you serve the Lord, it's as if John's saying, hey, she's got a brighter day coming. Some people kick out at the first side of the hill, not realizing that when they top the hill and round the next curve, what they can't see down the road is they're going to be some people that they've been a witness to that's going to get saved. There's going to be some help down the road. But they just need to hang in there. They don't need to give up. See, the Bible said, look at what happened. The Bible said in verse number 28, after Martha had talked to the Lord and they talked about the resurrection, and him that believeth shall never die. After Mary got done saying all that needed to be said, she said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into this world. And when she said it, she left. And the Bible says she went to call Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. You know what? I bless my heart about that. When you're sitting over there sucking your thumb, about ready to give up, when you doubt and discouraged and in a state of despair, when you're in the times of darkness, hey, I've been there. And when you get in that kind of shape, I'm glad the Lord has sent a messenger by just to give you a little invitation. He gave her an invitation to come. Go get her. Tell her to come to me. Context of the scripture, those that were around said, well, she goes to the grave. Oh no, she wasn't going to the grave. She was going to the grave robber. She wasn't going to mourn death. She was going to see life. The Bible said when she got out there, notice what she did in verse 33. Even in her shape, here's what Mary did, because this is the way she is. This is her life. They said, when Jesus therefore, when Mary was come where Jesus was, verse 32, there it is, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, first word to come out of her mouth, Lord. Oh, Lord, I know who you are. Woo! Sometimes all you can say, Lord. And then pour your heart out. Lord, if you'd have been here. Lord, if you'd have been here. And Martha's an example of anxious believers. Mary is one of them that's a worshipful. Everybody don't do the same. Everybody don't worship the same. You don't have to shout like I shout, run like I run, or lift your voice like I do. I got good preachers that keep the same voice tone. Amen. Some preach long, some preach low. That don't make no difference. As long as they preach that Bible, I'm enjoying it. I want to be where the Lord is. I want to be where the Spirit of God has freedom. Hallelujah. And if you'll just get to that place, if you could somehow muster up enough strength, listen to that Holy Ghost invitation and get to his feet, you can say it again, Lord. The Bible said when she said that in verse 33, Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews weeping that came with her, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He knew what he'd do, friend, but he saw the hurt. He saw her hurt and he saw their unbelief. And the Bible says, shortest verse in the Bible, at least one of them, Jesus wept. The second shortest verse in the Bible is rejoice always. But you can't rejoice always until you recognize he wept for you. Hallelujah. He wept. Oh, what a picture of his humanity. But thank God his deity knew exactly what would take place. But he was touched with the feelings of her infirmities. And he was moved. And hey, listen, our unbelief grieves his spirit. God help us not to be one of those who grieve his spirit. There is natural weight, but sometimes we carry too much on us. I see a humble learner and bereaved mourner. Look with me in John 12. Let's look at the grateful worshiper. How is she at his feet? Well, she's learning. She's leaning. But in John 12, here she is again, loving. She has determined to show him how much he means to her. Now, I'm going to get to Mark 14 in just a minute. But I want to mention right quickly, the Bible says in John 12 that it was very costly, verse 3. The Bible says before going to Calvary, the week of his death, he goes to Bethany one more time to get fellowship, worship, and recognize, they recognized his lordship. Sitting down there with him, Lazarus at the table is witness enough. Martha has seen miracles, including the one she just saw in John 11. Let me just make sure we all on the same page. Y'all do know in John chapter number 11 at the end of the chapter, when she was burdened about her brother being alive, Jesus said, take me where you lay him. And he said, take the stone and roll it away, because he didn't put the stone there, they did. And I wonder how many stones are standing between the Savior and your loved one. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that you put them there. Somebody preach amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what else it was. It was a picture of the law. And the law was written on stones and tablets of stone. And I'm going to tell you, law's got to be, was fulfilled and moved out of the way and satisfied so that grace could come into the tomb where you and I was at and bring us out by the sovereign grace of God. I say hallelujah. Bless the Lord, my soul. Amen. Lazarus was dead, dead, dead. Nobody could talk to him. A preacher couldn't get him to sign a card. Baptism wasn't going to help him. But the Lord can speak to him. And so it is with us who are dead in our sins. I'm glad the Lord can speak to us. Is everybody with me? Grace brought him out. Now he's sitting at the table. And the grace of God, he's come by one more time before he leaves this earth and goes to the cross. He's come by one more time to fellowship with the risen Lazarus. And there was a lot of people there. Y'all get this with me. She did what she did in spite of the expense. In spite of what it cost her. Y'all with me? You know why sometimes we don't worship? We're afraid what it's going to cost us. In this chapter, it's a day's wage. In Mark 14, it's a yearly's wage. In this chapter, she's pouring out some. In Mark 14, she's breaking the box. If I don't even get there to that extravagant giver, can I just say, she started, this is 6 days before the Passover. Mark 14 is 2 days before the Passover. She, one time ain't enough. She going to get in on it again. Just worshiping God. Hey, 4 days later, I got to get in on it. Woo! I don't know about people come once a year. Boy, I'm telling you. Once a week. If that's all you can come, thank God. You got to work. I want you to come. If you got to come, so asleep. I hope subconsciously you'll get something here. But show up for God's sake. Amen. Don't forsake the assembly. Whenever possible, get here. Cratch, claw, whatever you got to do, show up. Drive 250 miles like Doug did one day. Get to church. Hey, Bible said, in spite of the expense, this right here, brother, was over a day's wage. Some say a day's wage. Some say maybe a week. Now, Jared, this was her house. She could have used a napkin. Could have. She could have used water that had been perfectly sufficient. But the Bible said she took a pound of ointment. Very costly. That stuff had smelled the room up. That stuff you couldn't wash off. That spikenard, that special formula. And anointed, look at this, the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says that a woman's hair is what she takes care of. That's her beauty. That's her glory. She's saying, my glory is nothing. I'm going to take my glory and wipe your feet with it. I say hallelujah. My glory ain't even fit to do nothing but wash the crevices of his dirty feet. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. She was humbling herself. Y'all with me? Did it in spite of the expense. Anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled. She did it in spite of the expressions. Now, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying in this chapter, and 4 days later, 2 days till the Passover, and Mark 14, there is people that don't like what she's doing. Is everybody with me? I'm going to tell you right now, there's people in here that ought to be worshiping the Lord. I hope you are. And I hope if you ain't right now, you will be. We can worship silently. Yeah, that's in there a couple times. But it's always in there, shouting unto God with a voice of triumph. As an audible voice, you ought to praise God with a voice of thanksgiving. In fact, Hebrews says, because you went to him without the gate, because he suffered for your sins at Calvary without the gate, because he died for your sins without the gate, and you went to him and you've got saved by him, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's the fruit of our lips, giving praise and thanks unto his name. We ought to offer no turtle doves, no more lambs, no more bullocks, don't need none of those. Bread offering, don't need that. What we offer to offer is this right here. Yeah. Ourself. And then this. Yeah. And then everything we have. Is everybody with me? In our text, there's people in this room that's not doing what Mary's doing. Lazarus had a reason to praise the Lord. Yep. He was dead. Right. And now he's alive. And so I just want to say, everybody in here that's saved, you got a reason to praise the Lord. You do. You got a reason to worship the Lord. Oh, Lazarus was there. Simon was there in Mark 14. Mark 14, Simon was there. Simon was a leper and was cleansed. He had a reason to praise the Lord. Lazarus is sitting there eating, watching. Simon is sitting there wondering. Martha was there. She saw miracles. Raised her brother. Here's what blows my mind. The disciples was there. They'd seen it all. And none of them are doing what Mary's doing. In fact, one of them is full of wrath. His name's Judas. And when Mark 14's done, here in about four more days from John 12, he's going to get so mad and tore up. He's going to complain a little bit in this chapter. Over here in John 12, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Why wasn't it sold for 300 pence? That's his mad. Friend is mad. He's tore up. He's upset, Brother Tony. He is upset. That's why some people, that 300 pence, say that some people's yearly wage. I don't know how much it was, but I simply do know this. She still had some in reserve. But time she gets done in Mark 14, she ain't holding nothing back. She breaks the box. She gets every drop out, pours it all on him. She ain't worried about the expressions on people's face. Then some of them became verbal. Judas said, it should have been given to poor. And Mark 14, he's going to get mad and he's going to go betray the Lord. Full of wrath. Some of the other disciples are just full of wonder. People say, well, I wonder why he acts like he acts. Wonder why she does what she does. I've had people when I went and preached revivals before, they looked at me, Brother Jeremy. Had one guy shoot me a bird in service. I told him, I said, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that shall also reap. And I said, I see young man back there shooting your bird. You ain't going to keep me from preaching. Went on and preached. Y'all was there with me. By the end of the service, he was balled up under conviction. Now, I don't know if he ever got saved, but I can tell you this, it ain't no laughing matter. And if you want to laugh about it all you want, at the end of the thing, the Bible says in Proverbs 1, God's going to get the last laugh. And there's going to be a time when he will laugh at your calamity. He will mock when your destruction comes. And people can mock and make fun of you how you worship the Lord, just like Michael did David. And God shut her womb up. One day God's going to take the life, throw them off into hell. Bible says they're going to be raked over into destruction like coals in the fire. And God's going to get the last laugh. You mean would God do that? Why, sure he would. He said, I've called to you and you refused. I've petitioned you and you rejected it. I've sent the word to you and you wouldn't hear it. So now I will laugh at you. Oh, hear me today. She didn't care what they laughed at. The rolls of eyes. She did in spite of the expense, in spite of the expressions, in spite of the enlargement. It got big on her. When she did that, Brother, the Bible said the house was filled. Now turn over there with me in Mark 14 in closing. In Mark 14, here's what I love about this. In Mark 14, notice in John 12, it said 6 days before the feast. John 12, verse 1. And Mark 14, it says 2 days. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover. It's just been 4 days. Now, Mary Magdalene did it in Luke 7. Most folks believe, I said she's mentioned 3 times. We know about in the Bible. We know for sure it's her. Without a shadow of a doubt, it's her. Most folks believe this is her again. Now, you'll find this account. You'll find different accounts in Matthew 26. You'll find them in Luke 7. I believe Luke 7 is that really, the Bible even calls her an exceeding sinner. We know that's Mary Magdalene. That's who Mary Magdalene was. But she was doing what Mary was doing. You see, it don't matter if God got you out of the streets, out of the whoremongering houses, or God got you off the pew. You can still get at his feet and worship him. Hi, man, preacher. Hallelujah. And in Mark 14, 4 days later, according to this Bible, and the Bible says in Mark 14, there was some, he's in the house of Simon the leper. And she brought in verse 3, an alabaster box of ointment, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And John 12, y'all remember where she poured it. But here in chapter 14, she poured it on his head. She want to make sure she covers him all. Now, over there in the Bible says he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Right here. It gives the allusion to Psalms 23. He anointeth my head. He's fixing to go defeat the enemy. In the presence of the enemies, the bulls of Bashan, the dogs of the Gentiles, they fixing to nail him to the cross. The mockers of the Pharisees is fixed by the determinate counsel. I'm glad they couldn't do nothing without the foreknowledge of God. Amen. Are fixing to take him to Calvary. He's going to die for your sin and mine. They're gathering in. Hadn't God send somebody to anoint his head? Woo! Anointed his head. Also gives us the idea of this. When the priest was anointed, remember what the Bible says? Said it fell off his head, went down on his beard, covered his garments. What are we as the church? We're his body. All your blessings come from Jesus. He's the head of the body. They run down off him onto the garments that we wear. I'm telling you, I got a garment that I've got on right now that don't never get washed, that don't never need, thank God, a spot cleaned out of it. I'm robed in righteousness. I'm no longer naked in my sin. I've got the robe of righteousness and the grace of God on me, and I'll wear it to glory. Hallelujah. And that oil just runs from the head down. Woo! I say amen. The Bible says she anoints his head. And there was indignation within them. Sold for more than 300 pence. And given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Same amount. Who knows, Brother Jeremy? I don't know. But many tell me that the box is what made it the life savings. They said that this alabaster box was made out of silver and gold and glass. I don't know if it was. I'm just telling you what I've read. John Gill said, who Spurgeon read after, that he believes Dr. Lightfoot and the boxes that were still found, and this alabaster box coupled with this day to a year's wage that was put inside of it was what a bride would keep for her wedding day. I got to sit down. Somebody, I'm on pinch run for me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to take a lap. I'm talking about, was she not, hey church, was she not anointing the head of her groom?
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But in Jewish tradition, here's what would happen. If you came into somebody's house and they were special, well respected, and they drunk from a cup, you would break it. Because nobody else was worthy to drink out of it. Boy, I don't know if that's why she broke it. But I'm thinking, my God, nobody else deserves. Hey, man, he's most precious to my soul. And then they say they would break it when it's that day. When they no longer want to hold some back. When they're not going to dip out of it no more. When they want to get every drop out. She says, I'm holding nothing back. And Jesus said she did it unto his burial, against his day of burial. Are y'all with me? This is a ministry of, it's a memorial that she's pointing everybody to Calvary. She's pointing them to the death of burial and the resurrection. Hallelujah. And this is something that's going to memorialize her. They're going to remember it. The Bible says wherever the gospel's preached, it's going to be told about her. She had done what she could. I want to ask you today, you may not do like this one does, or you may not do like she does or they do. Have you done what you could? Again, the Bible says the house was filled. Others were affected by the worship. I remember when the Ridings girls got a little paper and they drawed it of a church service. I don't remember which one it was. I think it might have been Bethany. She had me up here, and I was doing some kind of crazy moving. And she had some people running. And I said, who was that? And she named them. She had some other people that were sitting down in the services. But what stuck out in her mind was, she's got a crazy preacher. I am a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. Amen. I'm just a little nut holding my ground. Amen. Till he comes back. I thank God for, I'm excited about being saved.
Yeah.
Did nobody say I was too crazy out there in the bars? But yeah. Thank God now that I'm saved, I sure can't calm down about it. I've got a lot to rejoice about. He that loveth much has been forgiven much. That's why Mary's doing what she's doing. A towel won't work. Water won't work. You can't show your heart like that. She's putting her hair on him. She's putting all she's got on him. This is her last chance to worship, and she's holding nothing back. Y'all with me? She ain't holding nothing back. It's so impregnated now. They've been double dosed that everywhere they go, they say, man, where you been? I've been in church service. I like what Brother Arthur said one time. He said, when they got over to the scourging pole, and that man reached and grabbed that whip and went to whipping the Lord's back, they said, man, somebody's been worshiping. They get him up on the cross. Before they get him to the cross, start pulling his beard out. And they smell that beard and say, wow, somebody has been worshiping. I mean, from his head. They nail them feet and they say, somebody's been worshiping. Hey, can I tell you, is your worship going to affect anybody when you're gone? Are you going to leave a meaningful ministry? My God, have you done what you could? She may not have did what Martha did. She couldn't do what Lazarus did, but she could do what she could do. I wonder today, are we doing what we can? I'm interested today in worship. She's honoring the Lord in her beloved ministry. She has a ministry of worship everywhere you find her. She has a meaningful ministry. Everywhere you find her, she's anointing to the day of the burial. And she's got a ministry that's going to be remembered. Still telling the story today. But she wasn't the only one that did it. There was a certain woman who was an exceeding sinner. There's another Mary, we know at least two, maybe three, had worshipped in this manner. Now, Jacob, you come. I want to ask you a question. Have you did what you could? I remember went to Ambassador Bible College. We was in a revival that kicked off the semester.